people feel that way when you leave this place, revived and the Spirit of the Lord. If you'll all please stand and turn to hymn number 395, God of Grace and God of Glory. Join us as we sing.
God of Grace and God of Glory, for thy people, for thy power, crown thy ancient church's glory, bring her back to glorious flood. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, for the facing of this
to the house of the Lord today. Let them know how glad you are to see him in God's house. Welcome. Good to have everyone today. Miss Rigsby is going to come with our announcements for the morning.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. If you are a guest, we are glad you are here, and Pastor would like to talk with you after the service in the Welcome Center and wish you happy everything. I don't know. Last week's Harvest Festival was really a lot of fun. If you were there, you know how good the food was. So I'd like to give our kitchen committee a round of applause. And Friday night, our trunk or treat celebration was so much fun. I'll give it another so. We had plenty of trick-or-treaters, between 70 and 100 maybe. Yeah, that's real good. But now that they know we've done it, we're going to have to do it again next year, so be ready. Thanks to everyone who came out and helped with that. We had a great time. Look forward to next year. Our next social event will be the Sunday before Thanksgiving, the 23rd. Put that on your calendars now. We'll be giving out more details next week. So plan to be with us that day. Thank you very much.
Motion it, no way. Hey, do it like this. I'll take the high five. And I wish you could come on and pray for it. Sorry.
Good morning. This week, our intercessory prayer list, we have Paul and Kathy Rigsby, Charles Brantley, the upcoming elections. There are those people that have been furloughed with no pay right now. Families of the POWs still not returned. Mary Aguilar, Nancy Cooper, Freddie Simmons, and our nation. Thank you, precious Lord, for bringing us together to worship you and study your word. Open our hearts and minds that we might understand and learn the things that Pastor Cooper is bringing to us today. We ask these things in the name of your most precious Son, Jesus Christ, our Creator, Lord, and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Would y'all like to hear a story? I mean, a real life, honest to goodness, actually happened story, not just some preacher tale. Would you like to hear that?
Yeah.
Well, in the summer of 1962, my family, dad, mom, and my brother and sister, we lived in Mississippi. And that summer, you know, we went to visit in South Carolina, which was the home place, and Daddy preached in one of the churches that were there, and I'm 16, and I noticed after church that there was a group of people talking to him out in the churchyard outside of the pastor's house, and I didn't have sense enough then, Larry, to know what was going on. I didn't understand that was a pulpit committee, but that's what that was. So later that summer, they invited Dad to come and preach in view of a call in northern South Carolina, and was there that Sunday. Dad would have been about his early 40s then. You need these little pieces of information. And everybody in the family went except me. And Dad said, you know, sorry, my oldest son can't be here. He's pastoring his church in Mississippi. True story, 16, church about dead. Dad, the missionary, couldn't get anybody else to go, so he sent his oldest son, had already surrendered to preach then. And that's where I was on that particular Sunday. So a lot of young people in the church. So they get told this later. So I got told later that the discussion among the teenage girl in the church was, what did this 16-year-old boy look like? And they said this, that if he looks like his daddy, he's a keeper. Not long after we got there, you know, maybe a couple of months, I'm standing on the parking lot with a friend of mine, Donald Waldrop, and this young lady, is church is over, and she's walked down the steps and out across the parking lot with long brown hair, beautiful yellow dress on, and she said, there's your girlfriend. It's that girlfriend's birthday today, because 3.5 years later, I married that young lady, and she's sitting in the choir today, and I think we ought to sing happy birthday. She's 29 today, just so you'll know.
I'm going to take a little liberty here, and I want you guys, well, you don't have to, I'm going to read it. If you go back to the third verse of the hymn we just sung, the one that most directors and Baptist choirs skip, if you read this verse, you know why they skipped it. Cure thy children's warring like wars, madness, bend our pride to thy control. You know, since pride's one of the things Christians have a lot of troubles with. Shame our want-to, selfish gladness, you know, because a lot of us are real selfish. Rich in things, we buy a lot of things, and poor in soul. Lest we miss thy kingdom's goal. So, you know, maybe they skipped that verse because it's a little too harsh for, you know, I don't know. A lot of the words in the hymns have a lot of meaning, and I'm just as guilty as you are skipping right over them and just singing and enjoying the verses. If you'll turn in your hymnal to 333, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, and then if you move a few more pages on to 350, that will be the offertory hymn. But join me now in Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, 333. Have 350, turn over there and stand up, please, for the offertory hymn, The Church is One Foundation.
The Church is One Foundation, is Jesus Christ our Lord. She is His Spirit and the Word. From heaven He came and sought her to be His holy bride. With His own blood He bought her, and for her life He died. Elect from every nation, yet one for all the charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one
Let's open our Bibles to Jonah chapter 3. We were there last week, but we're going to visit that again, beginning this morning with verse 4. Would you like to hear the appendix to that story I told? As she had thought about her life before I ever came along, anything, the last thing she ever wanted is to be married to a preacher. It's the true story. Don't ask me just how the Lord worked. I've heard her give that testimony, and she said God had a different plan for my. So it doesn't have anything to do with I was a nice guy or anything like that. Just the way that it goes. Y'all can laugh later. That's okay. From Jonah chapter 3 and beginning with verse 4, Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows, God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so we will not perish. Message entitled, A Call to Repentance. Verse 4. Where we're beginning this morning is a proclamation of coming judgment. Jonah has had his time in the belly of the great fish. He has been vomited up on land. He has made his way to Nineveh, and having walked a day's journey into the city, which it took 3 days to walk across, he is proclaiming this message, 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. Now, I want to start this morning by asking this question. Have you, in your life, have you heard the message of repentance? Or better yet, have you heard messages, plural, in your life of God calling you to repent? Now, Jonah's message was what? 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness in preparation for the coming of Jesus. Do you remember what his message was? Well, I'm not asking you to quote it for me. Is it the same message that Jonah was preaching? No, similar, but no, it wasn't the same. His message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance, as we're talking about it in the broad sense of the word today, is not a one-time event. You're talking about multiple experiences God's looking for, you know, to have. Well, let's just assume that last Sunday when you left here, that you just made the resolve when you got in your car to be a better person last week. Let's just assume you made that. Not a great spiritual, you know, awakening or manifestation of the Lord. You just said, I'm going to be better this coming week than I was last week. That's repentance. In the broad sense of the word, that's saying, you know, as I think about the week before that, maybe I didn't do so good. So I decided last Sunday that this past week, this past, I'm going to be better. How'd you do? Excuse me? How did you do? Did you run into that relative at some family gathering that you hadn't spoke to in 5 years and wound up sitting at the dinner table next to them? You're kidding, preacher? Sure. Did you run into that friend, you know, at some other meeting that had gone to the same department store that you went to, bought the same dress that you bought, and wore them to the same event that you went to? How you doing? And I just won't even talk about the traffic around here. You know, she's not in here now, but Misty Cox works over on my side of town. I just, over there, I can't pronounce the name of the street, but over off I-10, somewhere over there. So she gets to this side of town the same way I get to this church. She's the one that tore all those highways up, put all that construction out there, and arranged for it to be at its worst at the very time that I need to drive over here. She said, how do you do in that traffic? Yeah, as much as you've heard me talk about it, apparently not very well. So you're going to hear, there's the message of repentance, of the confession of sin, of not having received Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, and by faith asking him to come in and wash you white as snow in the lambs, in the blood of the cross of Calvary. I got that one time done once, but I'm still left living in this mess called this world. And Jonah comes along and says unto them, this city is going to be destroyed. You need to turn from your ways. Now, if you've heard that message of repentance, let me ask you this. Are you doing anything about it? Well, it's serious. Are you doing anything about it? So, evangelist, you know, before he went into evangelism, pastor the church, and at the end of his message, he did the same thing that Baptist folks do. He gave an invitation. Isn't that what we do? And we ask sinners to come forward, you know, and pray the prayer of salvation, pray the prayer of rededication, pray the prayer asking for forgiveness, for forgiveness, for acts of failure during the week, for fresh breath of God's Holy Spirit to do better. So, this lady comes forward, and she comes over, kneels down at the altar, and here goes over, kneels down her, and she's just pouring out her heart for sin. Next Sunday morning, guess what happened? Same lady. Same preacher, same prayer, same sins. And the third Sunday, you got it, don't you? Repeat. So after the fourth time, she came up, knelt down, the preacher went over and said, don't forgive her, Lord, she leaks. Huh? How well do you do with your temper? How well do you do with the matter of envy? How well do you do with your giving? That God brings that conviction on us and then expects us to do something about it. The proclamation of the coming judgment is one thing, but the recognition of a coming judgment is something else. It says in the scripture that as Jonah preached this message, that the people believed God. They believed judgment was coming. They believed that God was calling them to task. And they resolved to do something about it. So that's the question in the message today. As you hear the call to repentance, what are you willing to do about it? And let me give you just three quick thoughts on that this morning. One is faith's call to prayer and fasting. That's verse 7. I'm at the right verse. Okay. By decree, this is the proclamation he issued to Nineveh. This is the king. By the decrees of the king and his nobles. He asked, this is not fitting like it's supposed to fix this this morning. Yeah, so let me back it up. By decrees of the kings and nobles, do not let people or animals, herds, or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. Fasting. Lay aside food and use that time for prayer. Now, I'm visiting with some of my friends, the Clarks, Tim and Glenda Clark from out west, Southern Baptist Convention, and we're just visiting and talking about things and things that we do, and you know, between meetings, going out to eat. And his wife, they drove a lot. The executive director for Utah and Idaho, that's a lot of territory to cover. And she says to me in matter of conversation, said, do you ever just decide to skip a meal? Somebody comes to see you and say, you know, can I get you something to drink or eat? Would you like a slice of pie, you know? Or, hey, it's 6 o'clock, you know. Why don't we get in the car and go over here to Texas Roadhouse and have some fellowship, you know? Give up a meal? I thought to myself, what? Give up a meal? You know, we're in the middle of a mess in the United States right now. The government shut down. Did you hear? The government shut down. People in the army may not get paid. Sergeant, you heard that? I mean, it's bad. You want to know how bad that is? Well, the food stamps and supplemental food and all that, you know, people are not going to eat. And I really didn't think it was anything that much to worry about. But I give my dog treats, official bones, you know, about that big. And he loves those things. But it did something yesterday, you know, that's the day all that happened, that I'd never seen it do before. I gave it that treat, and it ran over to the door. And I went, what? It always sits down on the carpet there in front of the TV, in front of my easy chair, and eats that bone. But it's in there, and I knew it wanted to go outside, so I opened the door, and the thing went outside, and it went over to the corner of the fence and buried that thing. So if the government, true, if the government wasn't going to give out food, he had something outside and did the same thing again this morning. Give up food, all of it, and use that time for focusing on the Lord. We are We're so busy with our schedules. We're so busy with taking care of our needs. We're so busy with satisfying all of our own needs. We're neglecting prayer and fasting for the purpose of righteousness. Second thing, as a matter of fact, is the factual elements of repentance. What else is it that the king says? He says, let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. What's that an expression of? That's an expression of humility. Listen to me this morning. There will never be repentance. There will never be repentance until there is humility. Now, I've spent my life in the church, right? I've been in a lot of churches. You know, you're the director of missions, you're in a lot of churches. You travel and represent the state convention, you're in a lot of churches. You see a lot of things. So, in the church where I met Lois's father, you know, they had big Wednesday night meal. And I'd usually go there and eat and go somewhere else, you know, to church that night in Atlanta. Churches a day, see what the various churches are doing. And as I came out of the dining room, that there in the foyer was a life-size image of the pastor. I don't mean his name. I mean, you know, not dressed in sackcloth and ashes, but I mean shined up as much as somebody could possibly be, there just saying, "Welcome." Went to a church for a revival meeting to meet the evangelist they had invited in. And Larry, I don't know where they got this guy. I mean, humility. He looked like he was ready to be in a Broadway play in downtown New York City. Big broad brim hat he was wearing, big flashy bright blue coat, blue jacket and pants that had silver threads woven into them. I mean, I never saw. I just went, "What?" And I've already checked out Mario this morning. You know, he's our chairman of the deacons. I've checked out his clothes. So I know this doesn't apply to him. You can check him out when it's over. But I went in this church, you know, and sometimes they put little tags up here, you know, if they're a deacon or an usher like that. And this one had a tag right up here. It said, "Head Deacon." And he was walking around this way, you know. You know, just like that. Until there's humility, there will never be repentance. It will never happen until we realize that we are God's servant and we're under God's dominion and we're under His marching orders and we are to be humbled in His presence and in the presence of our fellow man, there will never be repentance. It was different being a director of missions than being a pastor. I just was. You address me, you talk to me, you talk to me exactly like I've asked you to. You call me pastor. That's all I ever want to be, is pastor. But as a director of missions, everywhere I went, it was Dr. Cooper. and he was treated primarily like Dr. Cooper. And we're riding to a church one night, and I said to Miss Cooper, I said, I don't understand this. I don't understand what everybody else called me doctor. I said, as far as I'm concerned, I'm just sweet milk and cornbread. That's all I've ever been. That's all I ever wanted to be. And she said, don't ever lose that attitude. If there's no humility, there will be no forgiveness. Second thing that he says behind that, he says, I don't know why I can't, nothing's working this morning. Humility, and the second one is a sense of urgency. Let everyone call urgently on God. Urgently on God. Get in a hurry about the matter of being obedient unto the Lord. Here's the thing that I've learned about God calling us to righteousness, or God calling us to some path of service, or some task that he wants us to do, is he doesn't forget. And he doesn't hesitate to remind us of what it is he's asking us to do, or what it is he wants us to correct in our lives, so that we can get on with the matter of living in obedience with him. The quicker you get in line with what God is asking, the quicker you'll have peace in your relationship with him. Now, it doesn't go away, okay? Now, you have a matter in your walk with the Lord that you've messed up in. Just take that for example. Every time you sit down and read your Bible, God's going to remind you of that. God hasn't forgot it. You sit down, you know, a pastor like myself with the Word, and say, you know, what do you want me to do on Sunday? I don't know. You're doing so good on your own. You don't need me. Why don't you come back and tell me what you came up with on your own? Myself and one of my staff members and a couple other pastors went to Mississippi in the wake of Katrina. Most devastation I've ever seen. And we were there to try to determine how we could best come down and help, you know, and over the period of time, you know, the association I was responsible for spent 6,000 man hours down there rebuilding people's homes. It's just what folks do it, what they're trying to do in Jamaica and Haiti now, and other areas that have been affected by this most recent hurricane that came through. So this particular day that we've gone down there to just look around, we're riding around with the pastor looking over these homes and seeing what we can do. And the Lord spoke to me, and I've told you this story before, the Lord spoke to me and he said, you need to get a couple of those Hot Wheel toys that are out in this yard and take them back to your study and put them on your desk as a daily reminder to pray for these people and to mobilize folks to come down here and help. Well, I wasn't the only one there. You know, there were others in the car. We were taking up the pastor's time. I said, Lord, I don't need to do that. And we pulled off. We're halfway into the next street, and he said, you didn't do what I told you to do. I said, Lord, it's just a Hot Wheel. I don't need that. Well, I said, I told you to get those Hot Wheels. And said, you're a long ways from Atlanta. I'm going to be with you all the way back. And if you don't have those Hot Wheels with you, I'm not going to let you forget it. And I said, well, I hate to bother everybody, but can we go back to that house? I'm serious. Hey, we were 500 miles from home. Really? I'm there supposed to be the leader of that group, and I'm not setting an example before the Lord. They didn't know the Lord was talking to me. I said, go back over there. We drove back to the house. I said, I'm sorry, I've got to get out. And I picked up a couple that I brought that I kept on my in my desk in Atlanta all the time I was in that responsibility, and we were doing that ministry. Urgency. And the last thing here is to give up evil and violence. Let them give up evil ways and violence. It's in verse 8. Let me put it this way. I grew up in the church. I grew up in my father's house. And for all of my life, my father was my pastor and my mother was first lady. And I just thought everybody lived like they did. I mean, in church, and I didn't understand when I got into ministry that when I went out to barbershop to get my hair cut, then when I walked in the door, the barber said, hey, preacher, how you doing? Jessica, I want to tell you just how naive I am. I thought he was glad to see me. Well, I did. That's why I said, hey, preacher, how you doing? I didn't realize he was saying, knock off the cussing and the dirty stories. The preacher's here, man. He'll take up an offering if y'all start that. Yeah, really? Just because you're in Sunday school, just because you're in the worship service, just because you wear the title of a Christian, doesn't mean you're living like one. You just broke my heart to learn that. So in Mississippi, in that summer that I was 15 and 16, I had a little lawnmower business, you know. Daddy had an 18-inch lawnmower. Can't believe that. And I mowed yards with that thing. I should have been available to you then. The average yard I mowed, I got $2. I won't ask you what they charged me to mow my yard, you know, like that. So when I mowed this deacon's yard that day, and he came down to my house in that little bitty town, a little bitty town, 350 people, little bitty, and pulled up on the street, and I walked out to his truck. My dad taught me to be polite. He didn't need to get out and come over and pay me. I need to go over where he was. And he was behind the wheel and just leaning over to the door and just trying to get the money to me as fast as he could. And I walked up and I opened the door. And guess what rolled out at my foot? A can of beer. From a Baptist deacon. I bet he wasn't an Aggie either. Let's lay in there. And he went, oh, you can't hide it from everybody, can you? This little town, there have been a lot of them, this little town in North Carolina, the only redeeming thing in eastern North Carolina, the only redeeming thing is eastern North Carolina barbecue. That's it. Just trust me on that. And in this little town, there was a barbecue place there. Everybody got barbecue from. And Mrs. sends me down there to get some barbecue for that night. And as I walk in the door, I can see behind the counter. And there is the treasurer of the church. And he has him a cool breeze right here. And well, another one came to me and said, I just really have trouble living for God. Said, when I get depressed, I go looking for some girly show somewhere I can go to. Excuse me, folks in the church are talking like that? He says, let them give up their evil ways and their violence. So the last thing, and I'm trying to finish quick, my son has a birthday dinner ready for Miss Cooper, but we'll get there when we get there. It's the future hope. What does he say in verse 9? Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. God speaks to us of our transgression. God calls to us for repentance. And God waits in earnest expectation that we might respond. That is the grace and mercy of our Heavenly Father. So I leave you with this final thought. May we call out to God for compassion today. May we pray together. Father, we thank thee for the word. We thank thee for this opportunity of worship. We thank thee that you preserved the Bible, that we have it, of your working with man and your call to us for repentance and to seek the way of righteousness. Father, we pray that thy will might be done in this invitation and that your name might be glorified through the obedience of thy children. In the name of Jesus we pray, and amen. Let's stand together for a hymn of invitation, and you come as God leads you to come this morning, please.